Video Action Models: Generalizing Robot Control with Video Diffusion. In a new preprint titled, Mimic Video: Video Action Models for Generalizable Robot Control Beyond VLAS, Pai et al. Archived 25 December 2025, Jonas Pai and colleagues. From Mimic Robotics, Microsoft Zurich, ETH Zurich, ETH AI Center, and UC Berkeley, introduce a novel approach to robot control that leverages large video diffusers instead of relying solely on static image language models. The idea is to use a pre-trained video generation model as a planning backbone, and a small learned inverse dynamics decoder to convert imagined video sequences into real robot actions. In contrast to the recent trend of vision language action, VLA, models that adapt static vision language backbones, like clip or image-based transformers, to robotics tasks, Mimic Video shows that tapping into rich temporal knowledge from internet-scale video collections can dramatically improve learning efficiency and performance on manipulation tasks. The key intuition is that big video models already encode physics and procedural information, how objects move over time, which vision language action models lack. By decoupling visual planning, the video model, from low-level control, the action decoder, this work sidesteps the brittleness and data inefficiency of end-to-end fine-tuning on large language backbones, and yields a more sample-efficient policy. In this episode, we'll walk through what the authors did, how their video action model, VAM, works, and why it matters. We'll explain the concept of partial video denoising and flow-based generative models, outline the two-stage training recipe, and describe the simulated and bimanual real robot experiments, packing and handoff tasks, where this approach shines. We'll also compare it to other diffusion policy and VLA baselines, e.g. the open-source Octo model and the diffusion policy by Google, highlighting the strengths and the assumptions of this video-as-plan paradigm. Finally, we'll discuss practical advice for adoption. What kind of data and compute you need, a large pre-trained video model, a little teleoperation data, etc. What hyperparameters matter, notably how much denoising noise to use as backbone input, and what challenges remain, video realism, computational cost, and embodiment mismatch. Context and motivation. Embodied AI and robotics are in an era of rapid convergence with large pre-trained models. In computer vision and natural language, foundation models, huge networks trained on internet-scale data, have transformed performance. Recently, robotics researchers have started to ask, can we leverage these foundation models for general robot control? One popular avenue has been the so-called vision language action, VLA, models, e.g. Google DeepMind's RT2, Stanford's OpenVLA, which adapt large vision language models trained on static image text data, like CLIP, VIT, etc., for robot tasks. A VLA model might take an image of the scene in a text instruction and produce an action. The static image backbones capture rich semantic knowledge about objects and instructions, and indeed some recent works show surprising few-shot generalization. However, a key limitation of these VLA-style models is that static image models have no inherent notion of time or physics. They see snapshots, not motion. As Pai et al. Note, vision language backbones are pre-trained on static image text pairs, and thus they encode semantic knowledge but lack inductive biases about how things move in time. A robot, in contrast, needs to plan a trajectory and handle ongoing perception. If we just fine-tune a static model with a few trajectories of real robot data, the learning problem is hard and brittle. Gradients have to propagate through the huge backbone, which is mostly seen out of distribution inputs, real robot camera versus web images, and the network must learn complex dynamics from sparse data. This can lead to poor sample efficiency, needing tons of robot data, and gradient interference between the action losses and the frozen vision language features. The insight of Mimic Video is that instead of using static images, we have access to large video models trained on vast video collections, like the NVIDIA Cosmos family. These video models have learned to generate plausible future frames, meaning they have absorbed a lot of predictive and physical structure. For example, a video model might know that if a cup is thrown, it will arc and fall, because it has seen millions of such clips. If we use this model to imagine what might happen under different scenarios, we can use those imagined, latent plans to guide the robot. The hypothesis is that internet-scale video models already encode procedural dynamics, and can serve as better priors for planning than isolating everything to the small downstream dataset. Thus, Pai et al. Proposed to decouple visual planning from control. The video model is pure visual, dynamic. Given the current video frames, and perhaps a goal, it imagines a future video trajectory. Then, a separate lightweight network, the Action Decoder, takes that imagined latent plan plus the robot state and infers the actual motor commands. By freezing the heavy video model at inference, the robot control problem becomes a simpler inverse dynamics learning, which can be learned efficiently from demonstrations. Moreover, because the video model already biases towards physically plausible evolutions, the Action Decoder has an easier job than learning dynamics from scratch. What did they do? The Video Action Model Architecture. The proposed architecture is called a Video Action Model, VAM. It consists of two main pieces. Video Planner, Backbone, a pre-trained video diffusion model, specifically, NVIDIA Cosmos Predict 2 with 2B parameters, a latent diffusion transformer or DIT, that can generate future video frames. This model is responsible for visual forecasting. It takes the current video frames, or image history and possibly text prompts, though this paper does not emphasize language instructions, and produces a noisy, multi-frame latent that represents a plausible future. Action Decoder. A much smaller flow-matching inverse dynamics network that transforms the latent plan from the video model into actual robot actions. This decoder is a transformer network that cross-attends to the intermediate latent features from the video model and integrates the robot's proprioceptive state, joint angles, velocities, etc. It then outputs a sequence of low-level action chunks, e.g. desired joint velocities or torques. Crucially, both components are trained with flow-matching objectives. Flow matching is a form of continuous time diffusion training where a network predicts instantaneous velocity fields of latent states. The video model was originally pre-trained with flow matching. The Cosmos codebase uses flow matching diffusion on billions of videos. The Action Decoder is also trained in a similar diffusion-like manner, regressing vector fields from noisy actions to clean actions. The pipeline works roughly like this. 1. Domain adaptation, LoRa fine-tuning. They take the pre-trained Cosmos Predict 2 video model, 2B latent DIT, and fine-tune it on a small set of robot video clips in the task environment. They do this via low-rank adaptation, LoRa, on the weights, which is efficient. This step ensures the video model's latent predictions align better with the robot's camera perspective and dynamics. The video model's flow-matching training continues as normal, but now on in-domain visual data, clipped robot camera footage. 2. Learning the Action Decoder. Inverse dynamics, with the video model adapted, they freeze it and train a separate action network. During training, they input real demonstration sequences, images plus robot states plus actions. For each step, they run the video diffusion partially, more on that below, to obtain an intermediate latent representation, a noisy plan, of future frames. This latent, along with the current robot state, is fed to the action network. The network is trained via a flow matching loss to predict the actual actions, inverse dynamics. Technically, the network sees noisy versions of the plan, by sampling random noise levels tau, and learns to refine them to match the demonstrated action signals. This stochastic noise schedule helps it generalize to the distribution of latents it will see at inference. 3. Partial denoising trick. Rather than running the video model all the way to clean output, which would generate full RGB frames but is slow, they only denoise up to some intermediate noise level tau v. This gives a latent feature tensor at an earlier stage that is not fully resolved but still rich with semantic, dynamic information. This noisy latent plan, at time tau versus in the diffusion schedule, is more abstract, higher level, and faster to compute. It also inherently has some randomness, like a prediction uncertainty, which can act as data augmentation. By tuning tau underscore v, they can control how much the video model imagines versus passes through raw input. This is crucial for real-time control. The inference can skip computing the final image reconstruction and just use the latent. 4. Inference. At runtime, given a current image, from camera, and state, the robot encodes them, runs the video model up to noise level tau versus to get the plan latent, and then uses the action decoder to sample an action. In practice, they mention using a high tau versus, close to full noise, to make the pipeline faster, since the action network is robust to some noise. The action decoder itself also uses continuous time flow, with its own scheduled tau underscore a, to generate actions. The end result is a sampled action chunk, which the robot executes. This whole loop repeats at control time, e.g. every 0.5 to 1.0s, rate depending on action chunk size. Importantly, the video model is not updated by action losses during training. Only its LoRa weights are updated on video frames, and then it's frozen. The action network alone is learned. This decoupling mitigates the gradient interference issue. The huge video model does not have to change to accommodate the control objective. It simply provides a rich perceptual prior. The action network learns to interpret that prior. Data and training setup. This method assumes you have a very large pre-trained video model as a starting point, like Cosmos Predict 2. The backbone pre-training and adaptions are expensive but one-time. Then you need only a relatively small dataset of robot demonstrations, videos plus actions. The authors report that a modest amount of teleoperated data, e.g. a few thousand trajectories, sufficed to train the action decoder to high performance. Key points about data and scaling. Video backbone. They began with NVIDIA's Cosmos Predict 2-2B model, which is trained on hundreds of millions of natural video clips. This model uses flow-based diffusion and is capable of predicting multi-frame futures from images or text. Because the video model is so large, approximately 2 billion parameters, it brings a lot of visual knowledge. However, to avoid domain mismatch, they fine-tune it with LoRa on in-domain robot videos of the tasks, just optimizing a small adapter matrix to adjust the latent features for the robot's camera viewpoint and objects. Action decoder training. Once the video model was set, they collected demonstrations, via human teleoperation, on the target tasks. For example, tasks might include simulated block picking, bimanual packing of items, and transferring objects. Each demonstration provides a video of the robot and the ground truth joint actions. During training, they randomly pick a frame and its future context, pass the frames through the video model up to a random noise level tau V. That gives a latent tensor. The action network then sees that in the current state, and tries to reconstruct the demonstration action chunk via flow matching loss. Crucially, during training of the action network, they varied tau versus and tau underscore randomly to ensure robustness. This means the network learns to handle different levels of noise in the plan latent and in the actions it generates. Compute and infrastructure. Adapting the video model and running partial diffusion at inference can be heavy. The backbone is 2B parameters, so inference may require a GPU with hundreds of gigabytes of memory or multi-GPU setups. However, they suggest that during actual control one could run the video forward at a high noise level to reduce flush computations. The action decoder is much smaller, a DIT-style transformer but on latent plan plus state, not on raw pixels, so it's relatively lightweight. They do not detail everything, but mention that inference still needs at least one large GPU, e.g. an A100. The sample frequency, given the flow sampling steps, might not be super high, perhaps a few HZ control flow schedules. The authors emphasize choosing the right noise levels. They use two schedules, tau versus for the video latent, how far to denoise towards the final video, and tau A for the action generation. In training, tau versus was sampled, like uniform, 0, 1, to see all noise levels. At inference, they often set tau versus approximately equals 1, meaning high noise, skipping most of the diffusion, to speed up. The action scheduled tau underscore A is also sampled in training. At inference they sample from the network once. These design choices balance fidelity versus speed, robustness. Sim2 real. For the real robot experiments, they likely had to carefully align the video domain data and calibrate cameras. They mentioned performing LoRa adaptation on real robot video after starting with perhaps sim pre-training. Also, the flow noise augmentation helps the action network tolerate small mismatches. It's not emphasized, but a lot of domain details must have gone into making the real Franken-Franke's work reliably with this system. Key results. Pi et al. Evaluate mimic video on a suite of benchmark tasks, in simulation, and on real bimanual hardware. The reported numbers are quite impressive relative to prior diffusion policy and VLA baselines. Key findings. Simulated manipulation suite. They test on a collection of vision-based manipulation tasks, simulated environments, and compared to several state-of-the-art imitation learning policies. Diffusion policy. A diffusion-based policy model, Octo, an open-source generalist diffusion model from Berkeley, DeepMind that was pre-trained on 800K episodes, and some vision language action baselines, likely fine-tuned static models. The paper reports that mimic video achieves top-of-table performance, with an average success around 93.9%. By contrast, diffusion policy in Octo scored lower. The summary mentions Octo and/or DID-based policies typically in the 70-80% range on these tasks. Even generalist models like Octo, despite huge data, could not match the specialized VAM. These simulated tasks probably include things like pick and place, pushing, stacking and clutter, etc. The exact tasks and counts aren't specified here, but the takeaway is that adding video planning gives a big boost in success. Sample efficiency and convergence. The authors emphasize that VAMs are much more data efficient. They claim about 10 times faster convergence in training compared to VLA-style end-to-end learning. In practice, this means the robot needed far fewer trajectories to reach good performance. The frozen video decoder split means the policy can saturate with just a few hundred to thousand episodes, whereas a VLA would need orders of magnitude more. This is a crucial point. One of the main criticisms of current foundation model, RL, is its data hunger. Mimic video dramatically mitigates that. Real-world dexterous manipulation. Perhaps most compelling are the real robot results. They deploy Mimic video on a setup with two Franka Amica robotic arms, each with a multi-finger human-like hand. So a 14DOF dexterous bimanual system. They consider two tasks. 1. Packing. Two hands cooperatively pick up objects and place them into a box. 2. Handover. One hand passes an object to the other hand. Both tasks require coordinated hand movements, force, and timing. On these, Mimic video clearly outperforms the baselines. For packing, Mimic video achieved approximately 72% success rate, whereas the best baseline, a DIT, diffusion transformer policy, was only approximately 42.6%, and another was as low as 11%. For handover, Mimic video got approximately 93% success, versus 74% and 30% for the comparators. These are substantial gains. The results suggest that using a video model's planning really helps coordination between hands, perhaps because it can imagine the full multi-object scene. Ablations. The paper also likely includes ablation, demonstrating the importance of the partial denoising trick and flow augmentation. The summary notes that their main failure mode is due to imperfect video generation, so they use noise as augmentation. In other words, if the video model imagines something wrong, or uncertain, as high noise latent, the action beliefs adjust. Tuning tau versus was task-specific but crucial. Details aren't given in summary, but presumably they show that if tau versus is too low, fully denoising, inference slows down and performance might drop, overfitting plan to noise-free input. Overall, the evidence from simulations and real experiments strongly supports the author's claims. By plugging in a world model like Video Backbone and training a small action module, they get better generalization and efficiency than end-to-end image-based VLAS or even large diffusion policies. The experiments seem well-chosen, standard tasks, multiple baselines, including strong recent methods, and the improvements are consistent and large. Core technical contributions. What are the key ideas that make this work tick? We can highlight several. Video diffusion is planning. The main conceptual contribution is treating a video diffusion model as a planner. Unlike standard diffusion policies that generate actions directly, here the diffusion model generates future visuals. This is related to the idea of a world model in model-based RL, but the world model is enormous and pre-trained on generic data. Using a latent diffusion model, Cosmos Predict 2, as a world simulator, is novel in this context. The plan it generates need not be pixel perfect. The action network only sees intermediate latents. This is inspired perhaps by latent imagination, ideas, but leveraged with the latest generative tech. Partial denoising, noise asseries. The trick of stopping the diffusion process early, partial denoising, so the model outputs a latent representation rather than actual frames is clever. It's essentially using the diffusion process itself as a feature extractor. Lower denoise level means the output retains more of the initial noise, which means more diversity and some built-in uncertainty. Training the action network on these noisy plans with matching noise levels, flow augmentation, is a contribution. The authors show that this makes the decoder robust to the kinds of latents produced at inference, where they might push tau underscore versus high for speed. This idea of tuning how much to denoise for control is new, as far as I know. Flow matching for control. Both modules use a continuous time flow matching loss rather than discrete denoising steps. While this is used in Cosmos and in recent generative modeling literature, applying it to training a control decoder is an interesting engineering choice. It means the action network is also implicitly a flow. It learns a velocity field over actions. This might have advantages over standard imitation, like L2 on residuals, in terms of stability. The authors mention the action decoder uses learned sinusoidal time embeddings, eta-layer norm, and residual paths, design elements taken from diffusion transformers, tailored for the action domain. Essentially, they have created a diffusion policy, as the action network, but anchored by the video latent. Decoupling in LoRa. Another contribution is the overall training recipe. First adapt backbone with LoRa on vision-only data, then freeze and train control. The LoRa use is an engineering detail, but important. It shows large vision model fine-tuning need not be full, sliding in small adaptation is enough for domain alignment. Meanwhile, freezing the backbone shifts all learning burden to the tiny control net. This decoupling is a design philosophy. Treat the perception, planning as fixed knowledge, and the policy as the only learned part on new data. Demonstrated generalization. The tasks themselves are fairly complex, bimanual dexterous tasks with vision, presumably under varying lighting or clutter. Showing that a single visual planning backbone can handle multiple such tasks without retraining is a contribution. In effect, they demonstrate that the video model's latent space is a good language to encode robotic tasks, even with two arms. From a robotics perspective, the practical engineering pipeline is a big part of the contribution. Combining LoRa, partial diffusion, flow augmentation, latent transformers, none of these are trivial to get right. The novelty isn't a single algorithm step but the system design. But it's a significant systems contribution, bridging the world of large generative modeling and robot control. Relationship to other approaches. How does this compare to prior work? There are a few camps. Diffusion policies. Previous works, Google's diffusion policy, Massachusetts's diffusion transformers, etc., treat policy learning as a diffusion generation problem. Those models directly output actions, or discretized actions, as the end product of a diffusion prediction. They require training on large robot datasets. For example, Dwibedi et al.'s diffusion policies showed that one can learn policies by diffusion matching on demonstrations. Octo is another. A big open-source diffusion model for robotics by Ghosh et al. Uber, Stanford, CMU, etc. Octo is domain general but needs approximately 800K episodes of data. Mimic video differs in that it doesn't diffuse actions directly, it diffuses expected video frames. In effect, it's a model-based paradigm, the diffusion is the model. This avoids learning the entire dynamics from scratch. Vision language action models, VLAS, the RT1, RT2 style approaches, e.g. OpenAI's RT1, or DeepMind's RT2, take pre-trained image language models and fine-tune on robot data. They tend to support natural language goals and rely on static images as input. The limitation they found, also noted by Pai et al., is lack of temporal reasoning. Mimic video sidesteps this by using future visuals. One could imagine combining both. Language-adapted video planning, but that's future work. Video-based model learning. There are a few works on using video prediction for control, e.g., Dreamer, Planet, but those are RL context and small models. More relevant is the contemporaneous video VLA, Shen et al. NeurIPS 2025 poster, which also uses video generation for manipulation. Video VLA appears to train a single model that outputs both action and predicted frames together. By contrast, Mimic Video explicitly separates them. Video model only cares about frames, action model only about actions. This modular approach could have advantages for sample efficiency. The results hint Mimic Video outperforms Video VLA. Though they work on different benchmarks, it's clear both lines see promise in video as a planner. World models, latent planning, in model-based RL. There are approaches like Dreamer, world models, but usually those models are trained on the task data itself. Here, the world model is pre-trained externally. There is also work on learning latent embeddings from videos, e.g. perspective of a learnable latent space where physics is linear. Mimic Video is unique in plugging an already pre-trained latent video model straight into control. Inverse dynamics learning. The action decoder is essentially an inverse dynamics model, IDM, that maps from imagined future to actions. There is a literature on using IDMs to improve generalization when tasks vary, like Koch et al. Using IDMs to generalize block pushing by learning relationships. But those don't incorporate big video models. Mimic Video shows that you can view the latent video plan as the future state and learn an IDM to it, which is conceptually neat. In summary, Mimic Video sits at the confluence of world modeling and policy diffusion. It differs from pure policy diffusion by offloading the heavy lift to the video model, and from typical world models by using large pre-trained generative networks. It differs from VLAS by embracing time and physics rather than static semantics. Critical discussion. The reported results are strong, but let's consider caveats. First, much of the power comes from using an enormous video model, 2B parameters, trained on 200M+ videos. Not everyone has such a model at hand, nor the ability to run it. So the approach shifts cost from manufacturing data to leveraging pre-training. This may be fine for big labs, but smaller teams might struggle to replicate without access. The authors acknowledge this. It requires a large pre-trained video backbone, compute, memory, and domain-specific fine-tuning, LoRa. That said, the implication is that once the model is out there, anyone can adapt it cheaply. Second, the success depends on the video model's realism. If the model's latent world is too different from the real environment, e.g., it imagines objects moving in ways the real robot cannot, the action decoder may fail. The partial noise augmentation helps, but tasks have to be physically plausible in the model. For very unique robots or novel physics, one might need to fine-tune or retrain the video model. This is indeed a limitation. The model was fine-tuned on the robot videos already, and presumably the tasks, packing, handover, involve everyday objects and motions that a general video model has seen. Very exotic tasks might not transfer as well. Third, the inference loop is non-trivial. Running a diffusion step, even partial, is slower than a forward pass through a CNN. The fact that they use tau versus approximately equals 1 suggests they're barely denoising, maybe just taking the prior distribution. This may effectively reduce to ignoring the visual plan and relying on randomness, but apparently it still works, perhaps because the latent at high noise combined with the image condition still carries some signal. This hack needs careful tuning. There may be a trade-off, lower tau versus means better quality plan, but slower. This hyperparameter might need to be tuned per task. Fourth, regarding evaluation. The reported success rates are high, but it's not clear how varied the tasks and environments were. If, for example, the robot workspace or object set is narrow, the result is easier. Ideally, we'd see tests on out-of-distribution scenarios. The summary mentions, generalizable, but data seems still in domain. It would be cool to see if the video model allows zero-shot change of object color or lighting, but that isn't discussed. We should note, while they call it generalizable, we should verify if they tested any novel situations. Possibly the bimanual task itself is complex enough to require generalization. Last, the baselines. Diffusion policy and Octo are strong, but they also presumably have their own strengths. Octo is generalist but may not have been fine-tuned on these tasks. Vision language baselines, like RT2, are likely weak without language instructions. It's a bit apples to oranges to compare video as plan vs static VLMs, because the latter were never meant to handle dynamic tasks easily. Still, the point stands that mimic video can learn from far fewer episodes, which is convincing. In terms of hidden work, training this system likely involved lots of engineering. LoRa adaptation of a diffusion model, customizing flow schedules, coordinating multi-arm simulation, these are non-trivial. It would be useful if the authors release code or models. They mention a repository for Cosmos and training scripts are known. Hopefully Mimic Robotics or authors will publish their code for the video action decoder. Practical takeaways. If you are a robotics lab, what can you take from this? Here are some practical pointers. Leverage pre-trained video models. If you have access to a model like NVIDIA Cosmos Predict 2, try using it to help control. You don't need to start training a video model from scratch. The gist is, keep the heavy vision model frozen or lightly adapted, and just train a small control net on your collected data. The experiments suggest this is far more data efficient than training everything end-to-end. LoRa fine-tuning. Do fine-tune the video model on your robot's camera data if possible. Repeat your specific environment dynamics a few times, e.g. move your robot and objects around a bit while recording video, and apply low-rank adaptation. This aligns the latent space of the video model with your scene. It's much cheaper than full tuning, and was a key step in the paper. Collect demonstrations. You still need expert demonstrations, but the number is modest. Possibly a few hundred trajectories per task might suffice, especially if those tasks use common objects similar to web data. Because the video base is powerful, it seems the system can generalize well from that. Flow time noise augmentation. When training your action network, incorporate noise in the latent plan during training. Mimic Video used a flow matching objective that basically means you take the ground truth action and add noise as if it were at some diffusion time, then predict it back. In practice, you could implement this by randomly noising the video latent, simulate the latent mid-diffusion, and training the network to still output the correct action. This makes your decoder robust to the uncertainty, mismatch of the plan. Tune partial denoising depth, tau versus At inference time, you choose how much of the video diffusion to run. If speed is critical, you might only unroll a little of the network, leave it noisy. The authors found that high noise, tau versus close to 1, still worked, but you should try a few values. Lower noise means the video model output is clearer, and slower, higher noise means the plan is blurrier but faster. Balance based on your compute budget and needed precision. Resource requirements. Be prepared for significant compute. Running a 2B parameter video diffusion, even briefly, likely needs a GPU or two. The action network is smaller but still a transformer. However, the expensive part, video diffusion, could maybe be done on a dedicated GPU, and the frequency of planning could be moderate. Maybe a second or two per chunk. It's not a millisecond control loop. These experiments probably run at a rate like 2 to 5 Hz. Embodiment matching. This will work best when your robot's capabilities are not too far from those in the video data. If you use very different robots or weird physics, consider fine-tuning the video backbone on simulated data of your robot, or using a simulator to align latent spaces. The authors implicitly assume the visual behaviors common in internet videos, object spills, table interactions, match the robot's tasks well. Failure modes. Watch for cases where the video model hallucinates something impossible. For instance, if a cup is tossed off camera, the video prediction might not capture that unless the model saw similar clips. In training, if the action network can't recover, it will fail. If this happens often, you may need to adjust thresholds or maybe augment the video model's training. The authors note that using noise augmentation in training mitigates some of the mismatches. Integration. If you already use a policy network, like a transformer or multimodal VLM, in your stack, think of adding a video plan branch. In other words, you could pass your camera images through a stable diffusion video model, using something like MCU Cyvision's Disneyland dataset, or Cosmos if available, to get a future latent, then feed that latent alongside current state into your policy. The key is making sure the gradient path is consistent. In mimic video, only the action branch learns from the loss, not the video branch, which is frozen, adapted separately. Limitations and open questions. To round off, it's worth noting what's still unknown or challenging. Video model quality. The approach hinges on the video model being good. With imperfect models, performance degrades. While Mimic Video uses a cutting-edge model, Cosmos Predict 2.5 style, not everyone may have that. It would be interesting to see how simpler or smaller video models fare, e.g., a 100M parameter U-net for videos. How small can you go and still get benefit? Generalization to new scenes. The evaluation is promising, but does the same one video model handle big changes, new room, new objects? Future work should test out of distribution generalization. Maybe the authors will, as follow-up, real-time control limits. Right now, the inference loop is non-trivial. If one wanted to apply this on a fast-moving agent, say a drone or a dynamic quadruped, the latency might be too high. Exploring ways to speed it up, distill the video model, or run full inference less frequently could be helpful. Language and instruction. This work did not focus on language instructions. Presumably tasks were implicit, like, pack these blocks, with no text. It would be natural to combine with instruction following, like RT2 does. Can the video model also take text? Cosmos Predict supports text-to video. If so, you could give a goal via text, stack all red blocks, and have the model imagine that future. That's an exciting extension, a text-video action model. Multi-armed coordination. The bimanual results are impressive. One wonders, could the video model also encode other sensors, like depth or haptic control? The current work is purely vision plus proprioception. Integrating other senses, maybe through multimodal diffusion, could widen the scope, end-to-end versus modular. Finally, an open question is when to decouple versus when to train end-to-end. Mimic Video chooses a modular route, which we see has big benefits here. But might there be tasks where end-to-end would eventually surpass it once enough data accumulates? Possibly, but likely the modular approach will remain valuable for low data regimes, which is most robotics. Conclusion. Mimic Video represents an exciting new direction. Using large video diffusion models as the brains of a planner for physical robots. By tapping into the temporal and causal knowledge of internet-scale videos, the authors achieve more generalizable and data-efficient manipulation than static image foundation models. The core idea, extract latent plans from a video model, use an inverse dynamics decoder to get actions, is elegant and surprisingly effective. It advances the notion that we should treat prediction models, world models, and control models separately, and it leverages the latest generative AI tech, flow matching, DET, LoRa, for practical robotics. For practitioners, the takeaway is clear. If you can get hold of a pre-trained video model and a small dataset of demonstrations, you can dramatically boost performance on many tasks without huge amounts of new data. This could democratize advanced policies for labs that already have GPUs but not millions of trajectories. On the other hand, researchers should note the reliance on big pre-trained models and think about how to extend or reduce that requirement. As video models continue to improve, e.g., Cosmos Predict 3 or beyond, we can expect even more gains. In short, Mimic Video shows a promising path beyond vision language action into vision video action. Its success hints that embodied AI might increasingly look like the robot querying a giant imagined scene under the hood. It will be exciting to see how this idea evolves. Perhaps next we'll see fully multimodal plans, text plus video plus audio, and policies that truly simulate their actions before executing them. For now, Mimic Video is a strong demonstration that the next generation of robot controllers might just dream of their tasks first, then act.